Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Philippians chapter 2. As I said earlier, Philippians is about fellowship. Many scholars and commentaries will tell you that the theme is joy. Well, joy is presented as the consequence or the outcome of fellowship, because fellowship is the theme. We saw earlier in chapter 2 that the illustration of fellowship is found in the person of Jesus Christ in chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word mindset means frame of mind, the total attitude and approach to life. What was the Lord's approach to this earthly life? His attitude was that he was moderate. That's what we're going to be told in chapter 4 of Philippians. Let your moderation be known to all people, the Lord is near. Known to be a moderate person, not an indulgent person. The Lord came here to fulfill a mission, a purpose. That's it. He wasn't sightseeing. He wasn't here to acquire things for himself just to leave it behind. He was here with a commission and a commissioned purpose, and he fulfilled it faithfully. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 9, where it says that there came a point in time where Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. It was time for him to go and to lay down his life and die. And as he set his face toward Jerusalem, the various villages would not receive him because they saw his face pointed toward Jerusalem. They wanted him to stay with them. They wouldn't even let him stay the night in their village because they knew the next morning he was just going to get up and leave because he was heading toward Jerusalem. That has always impacted me deeply. Set your face toward Jerusalem. Set your face towards Christ and his purpose for your life. And if people don't receive you, just keep moving on. Because in many ways, we don't have time for sightseeing. So the mind of Christ and the mindset of Christ is what is to be our example. Paul himself is the first one to step up and say, here's what it looks like. First of all, he says to those of you who belong to Christ, continue to do all things without murmurings and disputings. The reason why is because we are as lights shining in the world, and we're lights by holding forth or holding firm to the word of life. My own personal hold and fixation and anchoring in God's truth of his word. That is my testimony to anybody around me. Not me preaching, not me telling people what the Bible says, but my own personal holding firm to the Word of Life. He says, by way of celebration in verse 16, "This is for my boasting," he says. Literal translation. "For the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain," that is, for nothing, "neither did I labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I rejoice, and I rejoice with you all. And for this same cause or purpose," here's a command, "you also rejoice," and command, "rejoice with me." Paul sharing from his own life, he says, you talk about coming into this world for a purpose. His life was being poured out in verse 17. It's the same terminology for the drink offering of the Old Testament. So it's not like the offering is being poured out in the street. It's being poured out over a sacrifice. And I thought about that in my own life. You know, every day that goes by, I'm pouring out more energy, more time, that can figure into the wasted column. It's like taking my life and pouring it out in the street, in the gutter. Let it dissipate. Paul saw his life as being poured out upon the sacrifice of their service and their faith. In the Old Testament, the animal was about to be slain on the altar, and they would come up with wine, and they would pour the wine over the sacrifice to express a devotion and solemn act to God. But what would happen is then when they would place the animal on the fire, all that wine that was poured over the top would dissipate. It would turn into mist and just go up into the air, and it was the expression of devotion and surrender to God. Paul says, that's what I am for you. First of all, your sacrifice and the service of your faith for you. To help you trust the Lord and believe in the Lord in every situation of your life. For that I am being poured out upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. But as I am poured out on the sacrifice and service of your faith, all that wine dissipates and the effects are it rises up into the heavens as a sacrifice and devotion to God. So Paul says, I don't want to be that drink offering that ran and labored in vain. You know? And so he says, I'm asking you to rejoice with me because I rejoice over you. The word rejoice in the Greek language has to do with satisfaction. Not a happy feeling or party feeling or joyful human feeling, but it's the term for satisfaction. It was used for the soldiers who were out to war, and even though they might get shot or wounded, their physical body would hurt. There's an inward satisfaction of fighting in the war. see some of these people coming back from Afghanistan have their legs blown off or something, you know, and they want to go back. What, are you crazy? There's a satisfaction in them about the sacrifice that they are making and for the purpose for what they're doing. When a person like that, you're faced with them, you can't talk them out of it, you know? They can have their legs blown off and their arms blown off, and they'd say, put me in a wheelbarrow and put me back over there, you know? I can do paperwork. I can encourage the troops. I can do whatever I can do. In boxing, sometimes some of these boxers come out of the fight all beat up and bloodied, and they have stitches put in their face, and you have to wonder, why in the world are you going to climb back in the ring after all that? Oh, just because you're making $46 million. But besides that, who wants to go into a ring with a professional fighter and get all cut up and beat up? Because there's a satisfaction in the competition. There's a satisfaction in what they're doing. Do you realize that everything that means a lot to us in life, we sacrifice for it? Sacrifice is a big word. If there's a certain career that I want, I will sacrifice whatever and whoever to get there. That's the way we do things. Our whole life is a sacrifice, except the question is it a sacrifice that's a libation offering that's being poured out in the gutter of the street? Or is it poured out over the sacrifice and service of the saints and of the faith to where, yes, my sacrifice that's being poured out will eventually dissipate and God will receive it as my devotion and my love for Him, but it'll be the sacrifice itself that stands out. Everything that we want in life, we sacrifice for it, period. Whether it's human or spiritual, no matter what it is, we sacrifice for it. And it could be a multiple of things. In fellowship with one another, the Lord will bring us to a point in our life and in our walk with Him where in our relationships with the other members of the body of Christ, we will be challenged to take that last step which we never want to take, and that is sacrifice. It matters not what I want, but what can be a help to you spiritually. How can I lay down my life that I might see you receive the ministry of Christ? He didn't sacrifice his life for church so the church can keep going. It's for their faith. The sacrifice and the service of their faith. Paul says it's not human, it's not feeling. I am poured out as a drink offering over your sacrifice and service of your faith so that you will grow to trust the Lord. Not to human resources. Faith is trusting, even if you don't understand. I found over the years I've gotten more trouble because I had a Bible. I'm looking, how do I understand this? What's going on? I don't get it. Make some phone calls. Do you know any scripture? No, you don't know any? Here's a concordance. Here's an index. What's wrong with this Bible? It doesn't have that flat tire in here. Yeah, find out what to do about a flat tire. When I first got saved, I thought, you know, just barely knowing the difference between Old and New Testaments, that's pretty cool, because the Old Testament, they had a book all about your job. Then somebody told me, no, it's Job. Oh. I thought it was pretty cool because, you know, God tells you how to do your job. But no, it's Job. Oh, okay, well. Because my biggest frustration is not knowing and not understanding, and that's what faith is. It's not what or why, but who. Is he the true and living God, and is he in control of all things, and is he working all things out according to his will? And the answer is yes. I just need to know him. It's nice when he gives me understanding. But sometimes understanding takes the place of faith. Well, I'm not going to trust him until I understand this. And if I do understand it, I might not agree with it. So I'm not going to trust him anyway. So it's trusting the Lord for who he is. And if I am to fellowship with you, not you with me, but if I am to fellowship with you and it be a blessed fellowship in our participation together, God will require of me that I be poured out as a drink offering. For your sacrifice and for your service of the faith. So whatever your sacrifice is for Christ, I'm poured out over that. And it's one devotion to God. But you see, I can be pushed to where I say, I'm not going any further. You've already pushed me far enough. I've already sacrificed enough. I've tolerated you enough. I draw the line. With God, there is no line. The more mature we grow in Christ, the more sacrificial we become, because he must increase and I must decrease. I must deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Christ. Deny myself. So it's not about entering into church or entering into fellowship and saying, what is this church going to do for me? You're dead in the water right there. You know, how many times I've heard complaints of people say, well, when I walked into your church, I didn't feel the love. The commands for love are not for the receiver, it's for the giver. Can you see Jesus hanging on the cross after being beaten? Suffering like he did and then being crucified? If he were hanging on the cross and say, you know, you get this is not working out. I don't feel the love. It wasn't their love for him. It was his love for them that he voluntarily went to the cross. And you see what Paul has done is he's taken us on a road to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the last thing Jesus did after he left glory and took on human form and came and functioned as a servant or slave and even voluntarily laid down his life for death, even the death of a criminal on the cross? What was the last thing that Jesus did? He sacrificed voluntarily, gave up himself on the cross. And Paul is saying, that's where the Lord has brought me. If I follow his path, what he did for me, he's going to do through me for you. A little different than the pie in the sky and Christ will fulfill all your material wants and desires. Very different. It's not about getting, it's about giving. It's about what can be sacrificed, what can be done under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Just what we celebrated this morning. Next week, Lord willing, we will study the second person by way of example, Timothy, Paul's right-hand man. I don't know why I'm always mentioning arms. Right hand, right arm man, and got it on my mind. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we don't have to know or understand the why or the what. We just have to know the who. We must know you for who you are, nothing less. You are the true and the living God, not just the American culture's version of God, not just one of many gods of many religions, but you are the true and the living God, who is our personal Savior and Lord. What a blessing that is to be filled with your Spirit, not part of you, but all of you. So that no matter what we go through, you are there to sustain us. In the midst of our weakness, you are our strength. But above all, that you are dwelling within us, which gives us the ability and the capacity to let go and to be a sacrifice. Trusting your sustaining power and presence, we can let go. And be a sacrifice for others, whether we get along with them or not, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, doesn't make any difference. We find all of our understanding at the cross, at the foot of the cross. That's sacrifice. Lord, teach us about sacrifice as you work in each one of us in each of our situations to bring all of these things about us to the surface that teaches us about ourselves and the things about ourselves that get in the way, that need to be confessed, that needs to be surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, that we too would be a sacrifice and an offering well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.